Does the principle always work or only sometimes? This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. Does the principle always work or only sometimes? Well, it seems as though the principle works only sometimes. And we can all attest to the fact that the principle only works sometimes, because sometimes we get well quick in a hurry, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we're sick for a long time, and sometimes we die. And sometimes we get well almost immediately, and sometimes we pray and 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 pray, and nothing happens. We just stay under the weather, stay sick, stay unhappy, or whatever. Now, does the principle always work? Well, like that. Does the principle always work? Does the principle always work? The principle always works. And I say the principle always works because of one thing. It is the principle. Now, the principle is, and let's just take a real simple one, one that every one of us can understand readily and easily and quickly, and if we choose to. Now, we may not choose to, even hearing it so simply done. It is done unto you according to your thinking, according to your belief. Now, what is your belief? Is your belief that because you're a certain age, you have abilities? Well, that's silly, isn't it? We always have the abilities. Whether we're a little child, or whether we're a teenager or an adult, or whatever age we are, we've always got the same abilities. We always had the same abilities to be a genius, to be in a perfect mind, spirit, and body. Now, let's just take that body, for instance. Yeah. That's a fun thing. Oh, children's bodies are really fun. They are really fun. Children's bodies are with them when they're born, and they're whole and perfect. Oh, there's a recalcitrant body occasionally, but most bodies are whole and perfect. And you take the 99% of the human beings that are born, their bodies are whole and perfect. Okay, will you buy that?
Yes.
And the bodies that are not whole and perfect are the bodies of children whose parents are worried that their body will not be whole and perfect, and they stimulate that thing, and they put that cause in motion, and they get that experience. Okay, now, so here we are. Here's Sylvia. Sylvia is 3 years old, healthy as a little scooter. And then she turns 8, and she's still healthy as a little pack rat. And then she's 10, and still healthy. And she's 15. Oh my, she's looking beautiful. 16, 17, she looks just like the most beautiful girl on the face of the earth. 18, 19, 20, wow! Everybody looks at her and says, what a beautiful being. All right, 25, 30, Sylvia begins to live a life of her own. She gets away from her parents, gets away from her family, and gets away from the world that says she's beautiful. And she's looking at the world saying, I wish I could be like that. I wish I could be like that. And she wishes she could be like some of the other people that she's around. And the other people are just fine, but she doesn't know what their problems are. All she knows is they look like they're having fun. And she wishes she could have fun. Oh, she wishes she could. And so she begins to put on the persona that the other person has. She begins to put on their attitude. She begins to take up drinking. She begins to take up smoking. She begins to take up running out late at night, you know, and not getting enough sleep. She begins to misuse her body. Not unkindly, just as a normal routine. And then her body, then her body starts having the maladies that bodies have when you get to be that age and you live that kind of a life. Okay, now. Is that true with Sylvia only? Or is that true with everybody? Is that true with all the people who are having these wonderful experiences? What are they doing wrong? Well, The statement oftentimes is, when I was a child, I thought like a child. Now that I'm man, I'm in hell. No. When we were children, we believed that we were whole and perfect. Our mother would always say, you're healthy. You know, even if we weren't too healthy, our mother would say we're healthy, because that was important for a mother to say. And so then, what would go on? Well, little by little, we took on the attitudes and the unhappiness of our friends. And our friends would take on illnesses, and we'd take on illnesses. Our friends would take on this, and we'd take on that. Our friends would get the flu, and we'd get the flu. Our friends would have certain possibilities about them, and we'd have those possibilities. Not because we had to, but because we put the cause in motion that this seemed to be the right thing to do. Well, now, up to that time, we were living high on the hog. We were healthy little guys. We had beautiful bodies. We had beautiful bodies, healthy bodies. We had bodies that were filled with vitality, filled with all vigor and vitality, and wonderful bodies. And then we began to believe that all that stuff that's going around, the flu, the chicken pox, the measles, all these things, instead of being like the mother who said to her neighbor, Molly, you got 6 kids to take care of, and all of them are sick in bed, and you just are in there night and day taking care of them. Don't you get sick? And what did she say?
I
haven't got time to be sick. You see, it wasn't in her attitude to be sick, because she wanted to take care of her kids. Now, the minute she felt sorry for herself, which meant the minute the kids were all back on their feet and nobody needed her anymore, you know, she felt sorry for her, then she had time to be sick. Now, isn't that stupid for us to do things like that to ourselves? And how quickly we do it, and how innocently we do it. We don't take credit for it. We don't realize that we're the ones who put the cause in motion. We're the ones who made that statement about ourselves. And, of course, then we have the effect. Now, every yard across the United States, every riverfront and every whatever is loaded with insects, loaded with mosquitoes, loaded with bees, loaded with wasps, hornets, everything else like that. Fantastic, you know. Well, now, what happens when you just leave them alone? When you go out and you see mosquitoes, now, I took my son Mark up into the North Woods with me, and he was like maybe 2 years old, 1.5, 2 years old, and he's just a little toddler, maybe a little over 2, but about right in there. And my wife was in the cabin, and she was doing what she was doing, and I took Mark off up onto the hills around our cabin, where we had the lake, Rice Lake, and then I went up above Rice Lake, and there we found a big lake, and it wasn't supposed to be there, a big lake. And I said to Mark, look at that lake, and he said, yeah, that's nice, yeah. So we went over and played in the lake for a minute, and then we noticed that the lake had a big dam built there. The beavers had built a dam. So I said, I'm going to tear that dam down so that the lake can run, so the river can run, you know, and doesn't build a lake up here. Because if something happened and the lake opened up, you know, without control, it could do some damage. So I started tearing the dam down. And I was naked as a jaybird there, out among the mosquitoes and out among all of the nature and all these sticks, and I didn't get scratched and I didn't get bitten and I didn't get touched. Well, Mark was sitting on the edge, and he wanted to be naked too, so here's this little 2-year-old naked sitting with his feet punching into the edge of the creek and just having a time of his life. And then he started to holler. Ah! So I went over, and here there was a little coverlet of mosquitoes around him. And I said, Mark, you have all your friends here. And he said, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah." And I said, "You have all your friends. Did you invite them?" And I said, "Well, do you want them to go away?"
"Yeah."
So I said, "Okay, mosquitoes, Mark doesn't want you here. He's having fun. Now, you go play somewhere else, and you just leave him alone." Now, instantly, I was speaking on behalf of my son, and he was out there in the middle of the woods with me, getting bit up by mosquitoes. And I said, "No way. No way." Now, it's not because I'm so strong and so powerful. I just put the cause in motion. It's my choice not to have those mosquitoes there. And so the mosquitoes flew away. And then I said, "Mark, you're whole and perfect." You know, even way back then. "Mark, you're whole and perfect. Mark, you're whole and perfect." That's all I knew. And so Mark looked at his body, and where he had some mosquito bites, and all of a sudden they all disappeared. I said, "Mark, you're home perfect." I said, "Mark, you don't need to have mosquitoes ever bother you. You don't need mosquitoes ever. You invite them into your life. Come, mosquitoes. Oh, look at all mosquitoes. Oh, don't look at them. Look at what you want to look at." He's 2 years old. I mean, you know, he got a good start on life, didn't he? So, the rest of the day, we were out there. Beautiful, warm day. It was a spring day. Sun wasn't too hot, but it's warm and lovely. And the little creek there was not too cold. And he was putching in there and playing in there, naked little jaybird, just like his daddy. And we were and I got the dam all the way down. And whoosh, out went the water. And we just loved it. And he was throwing sticks so they could go out the water with it, you know, and go down the hill and just really having fun. And put his shoes on. He didn't want to get dressed. And so we walked back. I had to carry him mostly because the sticks that we stepped over were pretty high up for a little two-year-old guy. And we trucked along there and just walked through the woods singing away and happy as could be. It was maybe about 2:33 in the afternoon, something like that. We'd missed our lunch, but that's okay. We just had fun. We didn't even think about lunch. At least I didn't. And he didn't mention it. And so when we got home, we came walking in the house, two naked jaybirds, and my wife says, "What have you been doing? Where have you been?" You know, and I told her, and she says, "Pussy bit." And I said, shush, don't say a thing, don't say a thing, don't empower that, don't say a thing, don't say a thing. And so finally I got her to quiet down. I said, "There's nothing wrong with it now. Don't say a thing." You know, I knew about the principle then too, and I used the principle then, and the principle worked, and he didn't have anything. A few years later, I had been directing Music Under the Stars for the city of Los Angeles for a few of their summer season programs when they had guest directors coming in. And so I was with one of my students, one of my clients in the real estate business, and she was head of the thing in Los Angeles, so she invited me to do that, and I said, "Yes, indeed I will." So I did it, because they couldn't get anybody else, but I had fun. And so as a little reward — they don't give you money, you know — as a little reward, she took me down the Colorado River in the canoes with the rest of the recreational department of the city of Los Angeles, and we all went down there and just had a ball. And so Mark and I had one canoe. Faith didn't want to go along. And we just had the greatest time. We'd pull up on the shores, on the shore banks, and Mark was maybe about 6 years old, maybe seven at the time, maybe somewhere in there. And so we'd pull up on the shore bank, and our canoe was the canoe that carried all the liquor. We had all the liquor that these people were enjoying, you know, and they had all the food. And so we were hungry when it came time to eat. And so I had my swim trunks on, and everybody else was dressed in sweatpants and sweatshirt and socks and shoes and hat and gloves to keep the mosquitoes from eating him up. And here Mark and I were just out there almost naked, you know, and walking around and doing everything. How can you do that, you know? And I said, well, this is just, have to have that right attitude, right attitude. I said, Mark and I learned this a long time ago. And so the two of us, we were unbitten by any mosquitoes. And we would get out in the middle of the creek, in the middle of the river, in the sand berm in the middle of the river, climb out there and run around on it and just have lots of fun and play in the river and wait for the rest of the people to come down the creek because they were spending so much time eating as they were rowing. And it was just a great time, but Mark was not bitten. And another time, we were with some friends, and Mark was bitten to pieces. All over his face, he was swollen thoroughly with bites of mosquitoes because our friends were so worried for their kids and for him and for everybody. Oh, they'll get us! Oh, they'll get us! Oh. And I wasn't with them all the time. I was doing other things and not realizing what they were doing to Mark and to the group. And so everybody was chewed up by mosquitoes. Of course, I wasn't, happily. But everybody was chewed up by mosquitoes, and I said, oh, why did you allow this? And Mark's face was all puffy, and his hands were all puffy and sore. And I took him aside. I mean, it's my kid, you know. I didn't take everybody else's kid aside. I just took Mark aside. And I said, Mark, you're home perfect. I said, Mark, relax. Mark, all this is in you is tension. You have made, become so tense with the mosquitoes biting you like you did that you've made everything that they've done a difficult thing. So you've swollen up like a cucumber, you know, now. Relax. And so I talked to him, and he loves me, and I love him. And I talked to him, and I said, you're okay, you're good, you're fantastic, you're wonderful, you're beautiful. And by the time I got done talking to him, oh, I just cooed him to pieces. And he was just mellow, mellow, mellow. And all the swelling went down. We didn't even have to go to the hospital or doctors like everybody else was going. They all were going to the nearest city in Merced and other places to go to the doctor to have their stuff checked. But by the time it was, they were ready to go, Mark was already back to normal. It's all a matter of principle. Now, I used the principle three times for the same situation. Twice it worked just fine, and then the next time I wasn't around and somebody else was putting the principle in motion and bringing about negative results and having negative results. Well, Mark and I have gone everywhere. We have gone into the most dangerous places that you could ever want to go, into a farmyard with a bunch of kids. And a farmyard with a bunch of kids is one of the most dangerous places in the world because these kids don't know that the city boy doesn't know about farmyard. They don't know about kicking animals, and they don't know about dangerous things and riding in buggies and hanging on and things like that. They don't know that they have to, you know, slide in. But I told Mark, I said, Mark, you're going to play with these kids. Now do everything they tell you. And hang on. Just hang on. Now, if you don't want to go, you don't have to. But if you're going to go, hang on. And just remember, they're having fun, and you can have fun too, if you don't think that you got to say, stop, 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 stop too much. You say, go, 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 and tell them to go, and they'll never go too fast. Because they're just going fast to scare you. They're just going fast to push your button. And he learned real fast. Because I did farm features about farms all around Atwater, California, and all around that Merced area there. And in the process, I had to go to these farms, and all their kids came out, and they grabbed a hold of Mark, because he went with me on my Lambretta scooter. And he would be standing up in front there, and they would take him, and they would show him all of their toys, the pigs, the cows, the horses, and all the things that were very interesting. And he learned a lot. He learned a lot. And always, he learned to be a very mellow fellow, but always he learned to stand for principle. And to this day, He lives principle so completely, so beautifully, so wonderfully, that his life is perhaps the most idealistic life you could ever want. Oh, he's got problems, and he faces these problems. And these problems are there because he has allowed himself to think that they're there. And the moment that he changes his mind and thinks that they're not there, they'll not be there. But at the moment, he has whatever experiences he has, and that's life. But I see him whole and perfect, and I see him wonderful, just like I've always seen him all of his life, just like you have always been all of your life. All of you, you're whole and perfect. All of you are just like you were when you were little children, except you forgot. You forgot that when you were little children, if something came along you didn't want, you just said, no, thank you. And you turned your head and went and did what you wanted to do. You didn't do it just because everybody was doing it. But as you grew older, you do it because everybody was doing it. And that's a waste of time and energy and certainly good health too. But remember, the majority of the world, and I'm talking only about planet Earth, the majority of the planet Earth are whole and perfect. The majority of the people are healthy. We only hear about the unhealthy ones because they're the ones who haven't been using the principle in the correct way. And sometimes it may include you, too. But that doesn't mean you cannot put a new cause in motion, a new principle in motion, and enjoy wholeness and health and happiness and harmony, right action, peace and love right now, because that's who you are. That's who I am. And that's all I see in my world. Have a wonderful day. And live the principle in its most beautiful, successful, happy, healthy way.
Thank you.
I love 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 you.